Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Sis Lulu, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Zama. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Have you been good? Has your day been good?
Great. My day has been good. I'm having a great week and I'm thankful.
Lovely. Grateful indeed. We're grateful for life. Yeah. We're thankful for life. And so thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. I want to greet the listeners everywhere. Yes, I just want to say hi, everyone. I hope you're all having a blessed day like I am.
We do hope indeed they are. Now, Sis Lulu, we're talking about the stages of relationships. You know, falling in love is perhaps the easy part, but relationships can actually be a bit difficult, despite what the movies, you know, try to sell us. You know, like anything else in life worth having, relationships take also some work. Now, some couples successfully weather the storms that inevitably arise, while others simply drift apart. And today, we're going to be talking about the different stages that a relationship goes through. Sis Lulu, what are the stages that are known of a relationship?
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for that question. And you are right. Relationships are very, very difficult to navigate, and particularly if we are not empowered. Now, I just want to get to remind us of what we spoke about last week, because it's going to be important, Zama, as we build, yes. Mm-hmm. So we spoke about you are born in relationships, you are wounded in relationships, and we can be healed in relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And right now, we are just going to look at the healing potential of marriage, because we don't want to be dismissive that we can also grow in other relationships. But in this context, we're focusing solely on marriage with its healing potential.
Lovely.
All right, so, and again, remember that I'm operating from a certain theoretical modality, which is the Imago therapy, which is very, very significant, because that's a lens that we are looking at it through. Mm-hmm. So what are the stages of relationships then? We are going to speak about two today, but essentially we say there are three. There is a romantic love, there is a power struggle, and there is a conscious relationship. Now, remember what I said about last week. I said the purpose of marriage is not just happiness, but it's wholeness.
Yes,
and then we
yes.
said, if you look at it from the spiritual point of view, it's holiness.
Mm.
Holiness.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah, so that is always very important for us to know that we speak about healing and growth. So do you want me to go right on with the first stage?
Yes,
Zama?
Please do that, Sis Lulu.
Great. So here is a romantic love stage. Now, there's something we call an imago. And imago, we say it is a mental image that you carry.
Mm-hmm.
And it is made of your parents and caretakers' traits. You know, when you were growing up, you kind of like internalize who they are. You've got these messages that are written in you. So you are carrying this imago. It's like a template. It's almost like you meet every girl, Zama. Ah, not this one. It's not a match. Ah, not this one. It's not a match. But somewhere along the line, you meet someone, voila, it's like there's something about them that is so interesting. You get captured.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's almost like you're now in this altered state of consciousness, because you know what romantic love does? It kind of like gives us a taste of what it feels like to be fully alive. You know,
mm-hmm.
we are our most loved and loving self, like abandon everything, you know. Somewhere you're flooded with chemicals, you're excited. You can't even sleep. I mean, if you have ever been in love, you know, you suffer from insomnia, literally. You can't sleep because it feels like you're always so excited. Some people decrease appetite. It affects every part of you. But you always say, Marco, this is transient and it's drug-induced, because, you know, it's a positive emotion. But I want you to notice something, Zama. It is meant to bring and glue two incompatible people together. Why must they be bonded together? Because we want them to stay in this container so that mutual healing of both can take place. So this stage, which is characterized by almost like recognition, you know, this timelessness, like there's something familiar about you. You know, it's like I've known you forever. You know, this completion, Zama, of you fill me up, you complete me, you're my other half, there's no me without you. You will remember that. Like, you know, I don't even know what I would do if I ever lost you. Can you see how this is an altered state of consciousness? Because, like, you're crazy. You are literally crazy. That is a romantic stage. So it's like, I've met my soulmate. Mm-hmm. But now, remember, what is very, very significant is that actually when you fall in love, it's got nothing to do with them. It's about you. It's you. You feel good. You feel excited. You've got this euphoria. So you're projecting all of these feelings onto them. And they are also putting their best foot forward. Mm. You know, they are an angel. They're so sweet. They're so beautiful. They're so tender. Oh, he's so humble. He's so meek. What a gentle giant. Oh, you look at this person. It's like you pull them straight out of the sanctuary. Like, you know, you've seen in the social media when people say, I this one, I've got this time. This is the romantic love stage. And it's supposed to bond you together so that you can get into this container that is going to be helping you to heal. But because it is drug-induced and because it's got all these chemicals that are being, you know, they are being secreted by your brain, you speak about dopamine, you speak about serotonin, you are going to find that after some time, you settle. Like you can't stay chemically in love with your partner for long because, I mean, it's like you are high, you know?
Yeah,
you are high. You need to settle everything that goes up. Must come down. So you find out now, when this stage is coming towards an end, it's almost like the partner begins to show up more clearly. It's almost like you also show clearly. And now you kind of like begin to see things that you did not think were there. Mm. All of a sudden, the person is now not as gorgeous or as angelic as before. They actually don't meet some of these prerequisites that you have. Like, they disappoint you. Mm-hmm. They are late. You know this song that says, it's so funny how you don't talk anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you never bring me flowers anymore. Now, this is when you are settling now into the next stage that we call the power struggle.
Power struggle. Mm.
As you can hear, the power struggle. Mm-hmm. You can tell that now there is something. You know that verse, we sharpen each other like steel on steel.
Mm.
Now, what happens is that now our brains have habituated now to the chemistry. Now, this stage can take anything from 6 months to 18 months, even up to 3 years. But what happens is that all of a sudden, it's like you are no longer as infatuated or as excited. And now what happens now is that it's not going to come to an abrupt end, but somehow gradually, you're going to find that, there's something that is changing in the tenure and the tone of the relationship. It's like, they are no longer meeting all of my needs like I thought they would or like they promised that they would.
Mm.
And you find that now that energy that was now on that level of calling each other all the time, you're texting each other, it begins to wane. And as we begin to resume our other normal duties, then the other person now almost feels like betrayed, like let down, like what is this that you are doing now? Why are you late by 15 minutes? Why did you forget to buy me flowers? But why did you not do this for me that you had promised? And now, this is where the power started begins now. Because what happens now is that in this stage, Zama, there's now bickering, there's arguing, there's fighting, what you call a hot relationship. But unfortunately, in some relationships, it becomes cold. There's distance, there's coldness, there's that disconnect, aloofness. Now, all of these are actually adaptations. It depends on what you learned when you were coping as a child.
Okay.
Some of us, in order for us to not be overwhelmed when we were broken and damned and wounded by our primary caregivers, we howled, we shouted, we argued, we threw a tantrum, and then we got what we needed. So we start doing that now in this relationship where I'm going to throw a tantrum, I'm going to guilt trip you, I'm going to criticize you, I'm going to be coming at you with guns blazing. But some of us, when we were children, we did not learn it that way. We learned to disengage. You know, we're like a turtle. We learn to hide. So what we do is now we just close them off. You know, we just shut them out. Like, we just go back into yourself. They talk and talk and talk. And you look at them, are you done? And they say, yes. I'm like, thank you. And then you go back to your phone. Now, notice now, it's going to depend on the two people, how the relationship is going to be. Hence, some people will have this hot relationship where they're fighting, and others we'll have the cold relationship where they're just living parallel lives. You come home, hi, I good, I'm okay, food is in the refrigerator, or make sure that you pick up so-and-so. And this is when now, unfortunately, there are these invisible exits now that get into the relationship. And mind you, as we're doing all of this,
yeah.
we are subconsciously trying to get back what we had before.
Mm.
So when I'm blaming you and I'm guilt-tripping you, I'm like, I'm saying, hello, I want that guy. Where is that guy who was there for me, who was at who met every need? And even if you, as you're closing me off, as you're cold, as you're distant, you're like, hello, where is this beautiful, gorgeous woman who would be here, who would hold me gently, who would actually meet my every need? But how do you do that? By these invisible exits. Some just focus on our working now. Some of us are spending more time on TV, in social media, children, some become engrossed with church activities. They attend every program. It is a way of unconsciously trying to fight to get what we had back. Now, when you are disempowered and we do not know, then this is how, unfortunately, or this is a time when then you find affairs, you find addictions, you find ultimately in some relationships divorce. So all of these are exits. But that little, as a way of punishing, as a way of fighting back, as a way of trying to manipulate or coerce. But unfortunately, unless we stop and you're like, whoa, what is happening here? Unless you understand that actually the power struggle also is not designed to last, but it has a purpose. And what is the purpose? It is to provide the conditions that are necessary for healing and growth. Now, if you remember from last week, I spoke about healing and growth. I said within a marriage context, I can get healed of my childhood wounds. At the same time, as you meet my needs, you also get to grow. Because we spoke about when we were young, there were some needs that maybe were not met, or there was some pain that I was exposed to that made me shut off part of myself. At the same time, there is that socialization chain we spoke about, where you were told, don't feel that way, don't think that way, don't think that way. So within the context of the relationship now, I'm triggering you to come out. I'm like knocking, knock, so that you can come out now and begin to meet my needs. And as you begin to meet my needs, you are regaining part of your lost self. At the same time, you are contributing to healing of my woundedness. But you've got to understand that there is a purpose in the power struggle.
Now, Sis Lulu, this is quite fantastic. I heard you talking about the romantic love stage, and you talk about the power struggle stage, and then what is it called, the third one? I heard you describe
it. The third one is called the conscious relationship.
Conscious relationship.
Conscious. Now, you see, now wake up now. That's what you're saying. Now, wake up. Because we said in the beginning, we said a romantic love is an altered state of consciousness.
Mm.
But now, we want to wake up and want to be fully alert, want to be empowered, want to look at, okay, so what's happening in the relationship and what does it call for? What is it asking us to do? Zama, if you had a child and the child had a high fever, what do? You don't just fling the child over. You try to give them Panado. You try to cool them. You try. And if it's not working, what do? You take the child to someone who can help you. For the relationship also, I just wish all couples could understand that a relationship is a living organism. It has got needs. It has got needs. And whenever you look at these symptoms of something not going well, it's just a baby crying out, like, I've got diarrhea, I'm constipated, like, I've got a high fever. Just do something, you know. Unfortunately, some of us, we just throw out the baby to get out the water because they're like, okay, it's not working. And what do you do, Zama? You move on to the
just
next relationship.
Again,
you're going to meet another angel. That's a romantic love date. So you're going to keep moving from relationship to relationship. And remembering, Zama, that unless you allow the relationship here, this container, to allow you to grow, you take yourself everywhere you go. That is what people need to understand. If I am not healed, I take the unhealed version of myself everywhere to go, everywhere I go. That is why you see people having this marriage, they divorce, they think it's a partner, they are, you know, I can't deal with this thing, and then I move, I'm still moving with myself to the next relationship. Unless I allow the process to happen and for me to heal, I move. You find people have married for two or three times, always thinking it is the other person, instead of them pausing and being like, what is this stage calling upon me? What is it demanding from me?
So I heard you saying that this period of these stages is anything between 6 months and 3 years. Is that generally what is out there?
Yes, it would be generally. It would be generally, again, depending on many other factors. Like, for instance, distance, Are you staying together on a full-time basis? Mm-hmm. Because again, it will depend on many things. Like, for instance, how resilient are you? What other supportive structures are there? For instance, people are empowered. Now, people are empowered and are in this romantic love stage. Already, theirs would last a bit longer. Because remember, forewarned is forearmed. Whereas people who are disempowered, who do not know, you might find that it is going to be a bit shorter. So it really depends on many, many variables.
I see. Now, the importance of this, these stages of a relationship, is there anything that is to be learned from its stage? What I'm trying to get to is that, is it always in this pattern that there will be three stages, or some would just literally move from romantic and they're conscious?
I think what we need to understand is that when you are empowered, you will understand it differently, so that the power struggle will not be much of a struggle. So you're going to find that the tension and the conflict would not be as deep. What do I mean? For an example, if now I have had this and I come home and my husband is sulking, he's not talking to me, he's giving me one-word answers. Instead of me going like, okay, he can go to voicemail all he likes, he'll talk when he wants. Now with the understanding of the past struggle, I'm like, I wonder what wound has been triggered. Do you understand? So it's going to be like, okay, I wonder what is going on in his internal world. And then I remember, okay, there is potential in me to heal him. So instead of me just shutting him out and saying, for all I care, he can suck for days, I would go to him. But Jenny, I can see you're not okay. Do you want me to get you something? I know exactly the kind of food he likes. I go and I make that food. I know. Did you see how now I'm kind of like reaching into that boy in him who is wounded? So I understand he's not sulking because he's crazy. He has been triggered. So me understanding, I can shorten that process, which is why sometimes conflicts that would go for 3 days, they're going to last for only 30 minutes because we are wiser. Now we know exactly what is happening, which is quite interesting because my husband one day, when we were having exactly one of these heated moments, said to me, whoa, let's stop. You know what? Because you're not going to divorce, you're not going anywhere, why don't we just sleep on it? Let's just put a comma on it because we already understand what is happening. And then tomorrow, when we are sober, do you see now the difference? Where we are wiser now. So they don't really have to last longer. And of course, people are very complicated. We can never box people into 3 or 4 or 5 stages, which is why I said this is just one lens of looking at it. It does not mean everyone will follow this, but at least you can take some patterns from this. That, okay, these are the nuances of what will happen in a relationship. Just like Zama, it happens with a baby. We know that babies, they learn to sit and then you need to crawl and then they stand. But some kids, they don't crawl. They just stand up and then they walk, you understand. But however, we do know generally what are some of the patterns that we find when you look at relationships and how they grow. Because like I said, a relationship is an organism.
Yes. Now, before we let you go, Sis Lulu, how does a couple know, you know, whether it is simply just going through a rough patch, going through stages? I mean, you're saying that yourself and the husband, you knew that, okay, these are the stages, and so it is easier to pack it and say, let's deal with things tomorrow, etc. Now, does a couple have a way of knowing whether this is just going through a rough patch, or perhaps no, this one is now pointing to something much more different? It's probably pointing to the end, or what?
Sure. All relationships have got a chance of healing, provided we know. Mm-hmm. No relationship ever has to die, provided we know.
Right.
Now, here is the difference, Zama. With a baby, they've got a fever, and then you give them Panado. They don't recover. And then 3 days later, you can tell that, hey, man, their energy is even lower. I can tell some, maybe I can tell even now when I touch them, their skin is now becoming clammy. What do you do? You call a doctor. This is where we allow relationships to die, because sometimes we will have tried to help, give them charcoal. The diarrhea does not stop. We change the diet. The diarrhea does not stop. Then what should we do? Take the child to a doctor. This is where people are not wiser, where they should see, okay, there is something deeper here that we are not seemingly able to get to. Let's take this relationship to someone who is trained in dealing with this, so that they can help us unpack and see what is it that is not happening or what is it that is happening.
Beautiful. Well, Sis Lulu, I must let you go. But before you go, your word out there to the couples regarding these stages?
My word, is just like a butterfly coming out of your cocoon. There's something beautiful that can come out if you're going to allow the process. Let's allow the process.
Let's allow the process. Well, that's a good place to end it at. Thank you so much, Sis Lulu, for your time.
Thank you, Zama. Thank you very much for having me.
Lovely. Thank you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.